Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Sunday, November 7th, Happy Resurrection Day, and I am reading from the New International Version. I really wanted to do a one cut today, but then I looked to Ezra and again we have a long list of names and so I chickened out. But I'm going to try really hard not to be overly critical of myself and my voice. And remember, this is not about me. This is about the Lord and ultimately about us gaining consistency in our walk with His scriptures and with Him through His scriptures. Acts chapter 13, starting in verse 44, and we'll go through chapter 14 and verse 7. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowd, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. But the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of His grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them. But they found out about it and fled to Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the good news. Before we move on, I just want to make a contrast. Here, the Jewish leaders were stirring up dissension, weren't they? It says here, I can't remember exactly, I think even twice, that they talked abusively against Paul and they were inciting the others. They were filled with jealousy and so they stirred up persecution. There it is in verse 50 of chapter 13. And I couldn't help but think of the contrast with that beautiful passage in Hebrews chapter 10. It's verses 24 and 25 that says this, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." May it never be that we are known as someone who stirs up dissension. Rather, as the author of Hebrews calls us, let us stir up one another to love and good works. Let's turn now to Psalm chapter 9. It's quite a lengthy psalm, and it says in the subscript, it is for the director of music, to the tune of the death of the son, a psalm of David. "I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name. O Most High. My enemies turn back. They stumble and perish before you. For you have upheld my right and my cause. You have sat on your throne, judging righteously. You have rebuked the nations and destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. Endless ruin has overtaken the enemy. You have uprooted their cities. Even the memory of them has perished. The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He will judge the world in righteousness. He will govern the peoples with justice. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord, enthroned in Zion. Proclaim among the nations what he has done. For he who avenges blood remembers. He does not ignore the cry of the afflicted. O Lord, see how my enemies persecute me. Have mercy and lift me up from the gates of death, that I may declare your praises in the gates of the daughter of Zion, and there rejoice in your salvation. The nations have fallen into a pit they have dug. Their feet are caught in the net they have hidden. The Lord is known by his justice. The wicked are ensnared by the work of their hands. Selah. The wicked return to the grave, all the nations that forget God. But the needy will not always be forgotten, nor the hope of the afflicted ever perish. Arise, O Lord, let not man triumph. Let the nations be judged in your presence. Strike them with terror, O Lord. Let the nations know they are but men. Selah. You know how sometimes the words just jump from the page, and I thought, this is such a hopeful passage for us to cling to today. Looking back at verses 9 and 10, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Praise God that we can trust in one who is faithful, and we know his name. His name is I Am Who I Am, as he revealed himself to Moses, and his name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, as he revealed himself in the Lord Jesus. Okay, let's move over now to the book of Ezra. We are finishing up the book of Ezra today, and as I mentioned earlier, we are going through a list of names of the people who are guilty of intermarriage. Starting in Ezra chapter 10 and verse 18. Among the descendants of the priest, the following had married foreign women. From the descendants of Jeshua, son of Jozadak, and his brothers, Messiah, Eleazar, Jarib, and Gedaliah, they all gave their hands in pledge to put away their wives. And for their guilt, they each presented a ram from the flock as a guilt offering. From the descendants of Immer, Hanani and Zebadiah. From the descendants of Harim, Maaseiah, Elisha, Shemaiah, Jael, and Uzziah. From the descendants of Pashur, Elionai, Messiah, Ishmael, Nathanael, Jozabad, and Elisha. Among the Levites, Jozabad, Shammai, Kelei, that is Kaleta, Pethaliah, Judah, and Eleazar. From the singers, Eliashib. From the gatekeepers, Shalum, Telem, and Uri. And among the other Israelites, from the descendants of Parosh, Ramiah, Isaiah, Malachi, Majamin, Eleazar, Malkahah, and Benai. From the descendants of Elam, Mataniah, Zechariah, Jehiel, Abdi, Jeremoth, and Elijah. From the descendants of Zattu, Elionai, Eliashib, Mattaniah, Jeremoth, Zabad, and Aziza. From the descendants of Babai, Jehohanan, Hananiah, Zabai, and Athlai. From the descendants of Bani, Meshulam, Maluk, Adaiah, Jashub, Sheel, and Jeremoth. From the descendants of Pahath Moab, Adna, Kalah, Benaniah, Maaziah, Mattaniah, Bezalel, Benui, and Manasseh. From the descendants of Harim, Eleazar, Issajah, Malkajah, Shemaiah, Shimeon, Benjamin, Maluk, and Shemariah. From the descendants of Hashum, Mattani, Mattatah, Zabad, Eliphelet, Jeremiah, Manasseh, and Shimei. From the descendants of Bani, Madai, Amram, Uel, Benaniah, Bediah, Kaluhi, Benaniah, Meramoth, Eliashib, Mattaniah, Mattani, and Jesu. From the descendants of Binui, Shimei, Shelemiah, Nathan, Adaiah, Machnadiba, Shashai, Sharah, Azarel, Shelemiah, Shemariah, Shalom, Amariah, and Joseph. From the descendants of Nebo, Jeiel, Mattathiah, Zabad, Zabina, Jedai, Joel, and Benaiah. All these had married foreign women, and some of them had children by these wives. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. This is a difficult passage for me to wrap my mind around, the people putting away their wives and their children. And I'm so grateful for New Testament interpretation of this problem. Remember, in the church that is growing in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, we're reading about it. People who did not know the laws of the Lord are coming to the faith. The Gentiles are entering into the faith. And so people who are married to pagans are beginning to be believers. And so Paul has to address this, and he addresses it in his first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 7. Look at verse 12. To the rest I say this, I, not the Lord, if any brother has a wife who is not a believer and she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. And if a woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. So there's just this hopefulness in the New Testament that those who are married to unbelievers that have come to faith, those people can be a witness to the unbeliever. And hopefully through the witness of the wife or the husband, they will come to faith. It's a little different here in Ezra. Here, Ezra is making a very clean break when it comes to those who have intermarried with pagan women. And I know the purposes of our God are so that his temple will be holy, but it's a little bit complex. And so I just don't want to take that lightly. And so we ask, Lord, even now, that you would give us wisdom on how to interpret your word. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to know what it means to follow you. And ultimately, may we be people who seek to be holy because you are holy. May we be a people who are pure in heart and in spirit. And may we be a people who seek to help others come to sanctification and to knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord. And even now in our worship services today, Lord, would you bring the hope of the gospel clearly to those who have maybe never understood it clearly before? We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.